Find Second Chronicles in your Bible. Second Chronicles. Can't find my pocket. I'm going to read two verses in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, and that'll be my text. Verse 13 and verse 14 of chapter 7. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence upon my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you know every heart here. You know all of us. And Lord, we pray that you will move upon our hearts and draw us close to you. We want to walk in your presence. We want to be led by your Spirit. We want to be full of your praise. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak, and I'd ask you to give us hearts to hear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When Katrina hit New Orleans, I remember someone up standing up and saying, it's because of the wickedness of New Orleans. God's punishing New Orleans for her wickedness. When it hit Houston the other day, I heard someone else come out and say, it's the wickedness of Houston. That's a wicked city. That's a bad place. And that's the reason why the hurricane went in and did so much damage. Now, I want you to know something. I've been to New Orleans. I've been to Houston. Been a lot of places, actually. They're some of the finest street preachers in the world in New Orleans. And they were before that hurricane Katrina hit. There's some fine churches and some sweet Christian people in New Orleans. And they were before that hurricane hit. You better be real careful when you start judging and saying this is God's judgment on them because they were bigger sinners than we are, huh?
Amen.
I don't think so. And the same way with Houston. I know some precious brothers and good, solid churches that sometimes put most of us to shame, and they're in Houston. And I preached a lot of revival meetings in Houston over my years. I never did like it. It was hotter to me than San Antonio, but at any rate, good people, sweet people. Now, let me say this. It's in Job and it's in other places in your Bible. Just this verse I just read is another thing that's a proof text on this stuff. Anytime judgment falls on you, the first thing you ought to do is seek God. Did I do something wrong? Have I been disobeying you? Have I been not faithful? Is this in the cause of my own sin? Yes, you ought to personally do that. But you be real careful when you look at somebody else and point your finger and say, this happened to them because of their sin. The Bible is full of examples of people that didn't do anything wrong, and yet they suffered even death and loss of everything, the loss of their children or whatever. Be real careful. Don't be too judgmental. I tell you what you can do. You can be judgmental on yourself. Why don't you judge yourself? Why don't you take a look at yourself? Because that's where most of the problems are. Now, here's a statement. It's very clear. God is talking to Solomon. Solomon has become king because his father abdicated his throne and announced, put Solomon on it. Because he knew there'd be a fight for the throne and from the older brothers and whatever. Solomon was not his oldest son. But he made him a king, and I think he did right. I think it was in the will of God. But look what he says here in 2 Chronicles 7:13. If I shut up heaven. That's pretty clear, isn't it? You have any question about that? Can God shut heaven? Will God shut heaven? He says, if I do. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. What about if I command the locusts to devour the land? That's what he did in Egypt, didn't he? He did it in a lot of places in Texas, too. All across the West, back in the Dust Bowl, the days like that, there people went crazy out there with the wind blowing over and over again, and all their crops just messed up. If I shut up heaven, if I give the locusts to devour the land, what about if I send pestilence? You say, God does things like that. The Bible is full of it. You look at the things that happened in Egypt, what a disaster. The greatest power on the face of the earth, and God, they withstood God. Their ruler would not obey God. He would not honor God. And God shut up heaven. And God sent the locusts, and God sent the flies, and the frogs, and the blood. And he takes credit for it, and that's my God, and it's your God. He's a good God, by the way.
Amen.
But look what he says in verse 14. Now I want you to know this is one of the most quoted and famous verses. I've preached on it many times since I was an evangelist much of my life. I went places preaching for a revival, trying to get people to get right with God so that things could work out. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. We got a young king. He's been appointed by his father and evidently by God. His name was Solomon. God asked him, what do you want? You been praying lately? You been telling God what you want? You ought to. He says you ought to pray to him. You ought to ask him for what you want. Said he gives answers to many people's questions, what they want. And he answers those things. He's done it for me many, many times. I'm sure he's done it for you. He said, Solomon, what do you want? Solomon could have said, I want to be rich. But he didn't. He could have said, I want to win all my wars. But he didn't say that. He said, I want wisdom. Give me wisdom. He was just talking about looking at justice. Boy, it takes wisdom to take a look at justice. Tell you what, we don't understand a lot of it. There's so many things that have happened in my little 81 years now, getting pretty close. A couple of months, I'll be 81 if I live that long. I don't understand them. I don't understand even the things that happened to me in my life and in my family. I don't understand them. I have no clue how I could still be alive and Verlene already dead 3 years. That's amazing to me. All my time, I knew she's going to be a widow woman for 20 years after I'd already died. Well, didn't happen that way. I'm the widow man. Have you thought much about your life? How much God has to do with it? What is revival? Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave him wisdom and wealth and power and a lot of other things. But God gave him wisdom. This is wisdom. This verse 14 right here, this is wisdom. You think if all the drug addicts and all of the drunks and all of the thieves and all the adulterers and all the bars would close, they're the people that are holding back the movement of God in America? No, they're not. There's two phrases here. One of them says, my people. He's not talking to the sodomites can't even think of the name of it now. Sodom and Gomorrah. Excuse me. He's not talking to them. He didn't say if Sodom and Gomorrah will repent. They didn't repent. Who did he say? If my people. That's us, isn't it? Aren't we the people of God? I wonder if we could get some wisdom on how to approach God from a verse he gave to Solomon 3,000 years ago. It's still wisdom. It's about the smartest thing you could come up and study. If my people, my people, my people, what about you? How much revival is in you? How much spiritual insight is in you? How much spiritual desire is in you? Your faithful people coming to a house of God, you read the Bible and you pray and you give and you attend. What about your heart?
Amen.
What about your conscience?
Amen.
Are you the people of God? Yes. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I owe him everything. There's not a thing that I don't owe him. The absolute mercy of God has been upon my life for 80 years. Wow. I can't think of what my life could have been like if I hadn't been touched by God and become one of his people. If my people called by my name, listen to me. The name of Jesus Christ is not a cuss word in my mind. It offends me when I hear it. I've told people, are you really wanting to speak to him? I'll talk to him about it. When they say his name. I said, do you know him? We wouldn't say, oh, Lendell, oh, Kincaid. You don't use that for a cuss word. Why do you have to have Jesus' name? Okay, let's just clean it up real good. OMG. OMG? You know what you're saying? You're using God's name in vain. You're not calling on God. You're not speaking to God. You're not speaking about God. You're using God's name in vain. Oh, well, we dressed it up. We made it a little nicer because we're more polite or we're Christian. That's garbage.
Amen.
Why don't you confess where you are? Are you really the revived people of God that you ought to be? Are you really the people that's holding back sin in San Antonio by your prayers? Are you really the witness that knocks on doors and tells people about Jesus Christ? You have a master that was abused by people and crucified, and yet you don't want to be insulted. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing thing. It's about our hearts. God is not so much interested in a lot of things outside in your life. He's interested in your heart. If my people, which are called by my name. Now, the first thing he said is humble themselves. We are so proud. You know, you can't get offended unless you're proud.
Amen.
That's an amazing thing. You can't be offended. You got offended this last week. You're just too proud. You're not all that much. Just ask their enemies. Don't ask your friends. They won't tell you the truth. I always listen to my criticism. You might think I don't. I don't like being criticized. Don't get me wrong. I can get mad and get offended too, but I always listen to my criticism because they're liable to tell me something my friends haven't told me. I can learn something from what people don't like about me. And sometimes, a few times, I've tried to change a few things because of that. Not always, I understand. Shall humble themselves. What's holding back revival in this church? What's holding back revival in this town? My people. You think this is true? Well, I think it's true. Do you think it's real and that it's a part of our problems today? Yes, it's real and it's part of our problems. Always has been to people of God. We know that the people in Sodom and Gomorrah and the places, the whorehouses and the bars and the drunks, you want to get killed, go out to a bar and stay there till about 2 o'clock in the morning. There's some idiot will shoot you. He's not talking about the bars reviving. He's not talking about the bars repenting and getting right with God and challenging the courts of heaven with their prayers, bombarding heaven with their prayers. He's talking about my people. My people. You. Me. How fervent are your prayers? How hot are you? By the way, in Revelation, he speaks to the last church there, Laodicea. And he said, you're not hot. Are you hot? He said, you're not cold. Are you cold? He said, I'd just soon you be cold rather than not be hot. Do you know what God wants out of you? Love. Service. Adoration. Praise. Thanksgiving. You go around like you pulled yourself up with your own bootstraps. I got blessed in this life because God gave me a good grandmother and a good mother and a good father and a good family. And then he saved my soul and changed my life. What did you do that God didn't give you? What do you have that God didn't give you? You got the ability to see. You got the ability to pray. You got the ability to work. Thank God for it. You're smart enough. You got a gift. Boy, you ought to be thanking God that you got a gift, because there's somebody right next to you that doesn't have that gift. My people. We're the problem. Oh, you think, well, I'm righteous. You sitting here thinking you're righteous? You're an idiot. I'm saying that politely. You're an idiot. We are the problem.
Amen.
We don't love God enough. We love ourselves.
Amen.
We love America. We love freedom. We love the Bible. We love to preach. We love to give. We love to brag on the missionaries and the missions and the revivals around the world and the Bible being preached. What about our heart before God this morning? I don't love God enough. In the Bible, there was a lawyer who came to Jesus. And he's trying to challenge him. Most lawyers think they're smart. Some of them are dumb as dirt, but most of them think they're smart. And he said, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, thy strength. And the second, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You live by that? I have had people actually tell me that's what I live by. I bet I could sit with you at the dinner table and in 15 minutes prove you don't do that.
Amen.
You don't love God enough.
Amen.
You don't love God as you ought to. Yet you sit around judging people. You sit around like you're the king of the whole place. You sit around like you got the most wisdom and nobody else has a brain besides you. What about your love? Your love. When you pray today, how did you pray? You read your Bible. Well, I got to get 3 chapters or 4 chapters, or I got to get 1 chapter, or I need at least 1 verse. Don't you ever get ashamed of that?
Amen.
Don't you ever recognize? Do you ever say, God, I fail you. I don't love you enough. I don't love you as much as some of the other people that I know love you. I don't love you as much as some of the other people in the church. And I don't know anybody, and I love this church. I think you know I love you. But I don't know anybody in this church that's on fire. I think we're all pretty lukewarm. I think we're pretty interested in our own life, ourselves, our job, our kids, our family.
Right.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart. I loved Verlene even when she was 16. I loved her all her life. Well, I got mad enough to kill her a few times. It was divorce never, murder maybe. But we worked it out. We had a good marriage and we loved each other. Oh my, how much do you love God? Are you honest? Are you honest? Do you love God? Oh, I love God. I love God. Well, it shows in how much you give. It shows in how much you go. It shows in how you talk. It shows in your whole life.
Amen.
He said, if my people, not the lost world out there, not the rest of San Antonio, how about the people of God in San Antonio that are called by Jesus' name? Or let's just bring it right down to the only place I'm preaching. How about the people right here? You and me. You and me. We ought to fall on our face. There shouldn't be an invitation given. You weren't down here praying and asking God for forgiveness. Well, you're cold heart. And you're cold hearted. Tell me you're not. Cold heart. We can hear about things that are happening and people hurting and we think, yeah, that's a bad thing, but you know, what are we having for lunch? Well, I'm thankful that the hurricane didn't part over San Antonio because we'd have been flooded and we'd have had a bunch more roofs go off and all this stuff. We're so interested in ourselves and what we think that I believe it disgusts God. Maybe you've been praying prayers and they haven't been answered yet. Maybe there's a reason they haven't been answered. There's just a possibility that you're not praying like you ought to. Love your neighbors yourself. Well, you see that first one, love God with all your heart, that takes care of the first four commandments. But the last six is my relationship with somebody else. Love your neighbors yourself. Boy. That wipes me out. I know I don't love God and I don't love my neighbor as myself. You know what that makes? Makes me guilty. So why am I so proud? Why am I so self-content? Why am I so happy in my lukewarmness? It's because I'm backslidden. It's because I'm not thinking right. It's because I'm not clear. It's because I don't have the wisdom he's trying to give Solomon here. Now here, this last year, it wasn't a King James Version, but it was clear. There was a great big billboard out there on Bandera Road. Had this verse on it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. This is still true. I'm not preaching something new to you. This has probably been preached in every generation for 3,000 years. God come down and talked to Solomon, and he gave Solomon wisdom. If you're a wise man, you pay attention to wisdom. One of the things I've wanted to know most of my life since I've been saved is, what's true? What's wisdom? What's the wise thing to do? I don't know how many nights I've been up thinking about a decision I had to make the next day and wanting to make the right one, not wanting to make the wrong one. Well, how about in the church? Our personal relationship with God and our brothers. We want to do the right thing. And that's what God is asking to do. It's my people called by my name. We're the problem. You understand?
Amen.
When we come to prayer meeting, there's not a lot of people here, maybe 40 or 50. But we ought to be all here. If you were right with God, you ought to be down on your face and praying with the people of God to give us a revival and to break our hearts over our selfishness, our stupidity, our sin, our pride. God, we pray you heal this one. We pray you help this guy that's in jail down there. We pray you heal this one. Pray to give so-and-so a job. Help so-and-so to get a promotion. Those are all good prayers. There's not nothing wrong with those prayers. But the first prayer out of my mouth ought to be, God, forgive me. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you that he died in my place. Thank you that he paid for my sin. Oh, God, have mercy upon me, because I'm sure not worthy of your time. I'm amazed at the ants, and red ants especially. They're powerful things. I've seen them all my life here in Texas. Big old red ants on a big old mound and whatever. And I watch them and I think, God pays attention to them. And it's almost like I think God pays attention to me, sort of like he pays attention to them. You think you're worth more than a red ant? Well, I used to just step on them and say, have a bad day. God hadn't done you that way yet, has he? But that's the way you look to him. But he made you like him. You know what he wants? He wants love. He wants respect. He ought to have more love and more respect from your life, shouldn't he?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I know he should have more love and respect from my life. Oh, I'm getting old. I excuse a lot of my things because I'm old. Nelda, how come you're not knocking on doors all the time? You're getting backslidden, Nelda. I remember when, Nelda. I remember you used to make me white cake with white icing. What's your problem? You're getting a little backslidden, aren't you? No, you're just getting old. But let me tell you something. This is still real. It's still true. I don't care if you've heard it 100 times before. You don't love God very much. And you show it every day of your life. You show it when you pray or when you don't pray.
Amen.
You show it when you stand up for God or whether you don't stand up for God. Or you show it when you come to church or whether you don't come to church. You know, that's not a problem I've had for 60 years. It's over 60 now. I have never had a problem waking up in the last 60 years and thinking, will I go to church today or not? Turn that thing off. I'm going to be here. I just like to bring my spirit with me when I come. I just like to bring my love of God with me when I come. I just like to bring my honor to God, my praise to God, my thanksgiving to God with me all day long. I don't like it being torn from me. I don't feel very spiritual. I don't feel very strong. I don't feel very close to God many times. Just like you. Just like you. Well, you reckon there's anything we can do about it? Let's read the verse again. It says wisdom. I mean, Solomon wanted wisdom. God said, I'll give you wisdom. Let's see what he says. If my people shall humble themselves. We're not very humble. You say, oh, I'm humble. I'm humble. Anybody tells you humble is lying. If you're humble, you wouldn't know it. You're not humble. so proud. Pray. How much time do you spend praying? Do you pray? Do you pray every day? Do you even thank the Lord for the meals He gives you? Do you thank the Lord for giving you another day? You know, this is a tremendous privilege. You woke up today. God gave you a day of life. Every pleasure you know comes because God gave you life. Well, you got pleasures. You got things you can do. You got things you enjoy doing. And boy, as Americans, we've got boats and guns and houses and, oh, radios and phones and internet, television. Wow. Everything crowds got out.
Amen.
You don't believe it does? Take a look at yourself.
Amen.
Just take account of yourself. You let so many things interrupt you. I remember now, just a statement. Billy Graham, when he was young and he was preaching and he was at a conference of preachers, and he was out by himself at a period of time when they weren't having the meetings and they had a time to themselves. And he's praying. But a man comes up to him and he doesn't know that he's praying. And the man starts to talk to him and Billy Graham didn't answer him. Later on, Billy Graham went up and apologized to him. He said, I was actually talking to the Lord. I was in prayer. And I figured I'd rather insult you than insult the Lord. You ever think of a thing like that? Humble themselves and pray. You know what pray is? It's ask God for things. He tells you to. He said, where two or three of you are gathered together, I'm in your midst. Well, that name out there on this church up here says this is the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meetings held here in His name. Well, two or three of us are here. 100 of us are here. He's here. You don't have to go off someplace to find Him. He's in the seat right next to you. He's right in your mind. Reckon He can take His word and bring it to us and bring a revival? Oh, yes, He can. I've been in revival. I know what revival is like. It's a wonderful thing. It's a grand experience. But you got to want it. You got to want it. Humble themselves and pray. How about seek His face? Most of us seek His hand. You know that? Have you ever thought about how you pray? Think about how you pray. You're seeking God's hand to give you something. You're seeking God's hand to do something for you. You're seeking His power. He said, seek My face. Do you love Him that much? I don't think we do. I don't think we know how to. But I think it's one thing missing. I think it's a thing missing in my life and in your life. Seek You My face. David said, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Oh, you can blame David for a lot of sins. He was a bloody man. God wouldn't let him build a tabernacle because he'd killed so many people in his wars. Also, he'd killed the husband of the woman he had adultery with. Now, I want you to know something. You check this story out. Read the Bible cover to cover. About Bathsheba, God never blames her. You may not like me saying that, but God never blames her. God didn't say she dressed wrong. God didn't say she tempted him. God didn't say it was her sin. It's always David's sin. He was the king. I don't know what rights women had in that day. They sure didn't have what they got now. David's sin, the man after God's own heart. Think about this a minute. David loved God. He wrote most of the Psalms, even some of them that his name is not on. They're probably from David. This man is a musician. He's a poet. He's a prophet. He's a man that loved God. He's a man that could trust God going up against a 10-foot giant. That wall is 10 foot. That wall is 10 foot. That's how tall Goliath was. But he sinned. And he repented. And he sought the Lord. And when you read his Psalms of his prayers, and you read his problems that he's dealing with and the things he has to sort out and do, yes, he did many things wrong. Boy, you want to blame David, you can find plenty of room to blame him. Big sins, little sins, all sorts of things, stupid things. Sometimes just because he's king, he made the wrong decision just out of spite. I'm king, I say I do this. People around him told him he was doing the wrong thing. A lot of people suffered and died because David did the wrong thing. I'll tell you something else about him. The Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. Are you a man after God's own heart? We can blame David and we can criticize his sin, and most of us are guilty of most of his. But bless your heart, he had a heart for God. Read his Psalms. Read his prayers. Read how he approached God. Wow. You got anything like that in you? Anything like that in you? Oh, I wish we did. Solomon said, "Give me wisdom." And God told him this. Isn't that something? I think it's something we ought to pay attention to. Maybe, just maybe, this is the reason you're not as happy as you ought to be with all the blessings God's given you.
Amen.
Maybe, just maybe, this is why you don't have the power that you want to have to serve God. Because you're doing it in your own self, in your own way, rather than with a heart that really loves God. Now, I'm not saying you don't love God. I'm saying you don't love him enough. I don't love him enough. Now, we can argue about whether I love him more than you or you love him more than me in our pride. Amen?
Amen?
Pride. You know, God hates pride. What if one of those red ants that I used to step on come up to me and say, "I'm just as good as you." I say, "No, you're not." That's sort of like us. You're not as good as God. You're not as good as some of the people you criticize.
Amen.
You're not as good as some of the people you gossip about.
Right.
You're not as good as some of the people that you are offended by. You're just not as good as you ought to be.
Amen.
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 R-O-M-E. Seek my face. Notice there's something else here. It says, turn from their wicked ways. I don't have any idea what's going on in this 100 people and their families. But I'm sure there's some wickedness. Wickedness of the mind. Wickedness of the action. He says, turn from it. That's repent. Repent is to change your mind so that it changes your course of action. He said, turn from their wicked ways. Do you reckon that there's nobody doing wickedness in this congregation of 100? I used to be a betting man, and I wouldn't bet on that. We're sinners. We've been saved, now we're saved sinners. And we still have a wicked mind and a wicked heart and a selfishness within us. Turn from their wicked ways. Pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. He says, then will I hear from heaven. You want revival? Turn from your wicked ways, seek the face of the Lord. He'll hear from heaven. Repentance. This is the answer to revival in every generation. The church got burdened and the church got to praying. And then some new kid come along and all of a sudden a revival bursts out. But it's got to be the heart of the people. See, I want to go to a church that makes me feel good, Brother Kincaid. You don't make me feel good. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to go home and take a half a baby aspirin to cover my pain. No, 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 you proud, egotistical idiot. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek Him with all your heart. Seek Him with everything you've got. And we just might see a revival. You might see a revival. And bless your heart. I don't know if you've ever seen one at all. But when you do, you'll say, oh, I wish I could keep this going. Pray. Humble yourself. Repent. And the Lord will hear. Father, bless your word. Help us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I just got the three verses.